Hello, mi gente. Welcome to Braids, Brujería, and Books. This is Garcia Basir, and this episode is about rocky paths. So, I hope you guys are having a wonderful autumn equinox. For those who practice Wicca, happy Marbon. It's also 2 days from the full moon in Aries on September 24th, which is also known as a harvest moon. According to astrologyhub.com, the full moon after September 22nd equinox is known as the harvest moon because the moon skirts lower on the horizon, creating several nights of increased brightness, which was helpful to farmers during the annual harvest. So, in fact, today's moon is a waxing gibbous, in Pisces. If you want to know that information, I found it courtesy of the Full Moon app on iOS. I am not sure if there's one for Android, but I'm certain that there's one out there. Also, just FYI, this week's book will be Jambalaya, the natural woman's book of personal charms and practical rituals, which I will dedicate a full episode to exploring themes and interesting stuff that I find personally enlightening as a witch of color. Okie dokie. So, this episode is gonna seem in a way to be all over the place, but it's not. I know I for sure want to talk about rocky spiritual paths. You know, what does that look like? Because we're doing this as a way to connect to the divine, I'm assuming, you're listening to this podcast, and to know our purpose, to understand great mysteries and whatnot, to conceptualize our universe, right? And one of the things is that, you know, once you start to investigate the occult, or research, you know, African spirituality, indigenous spirituality, there's so many layers to it. And I think maybe I'm just reflecting on this because I used to be a teacher, a professor. But all of the education literature at the time, or that when I was teaching, which was like a year ago, is shifting and is creating a new paradigm, because the children that we are raising now aren't going to be released like a prison, but they're going to be set forth into a society that's going to be in a age that's going to be completely different than what we were used to. So using the same practices or using the same theory or learning theory or psychological theory or educational theory, you know, from 40 years ago, it's not going to be of service to children now. One of the cool things, I listen to a lot of podcasts, in case you didn't know. but one podcast I was really into, I can't think of it right now, but she has a great YouTube channel. And she is not a teacher. She was a teacher, But now she kind of works in that gray area of instructional education. So, you know, like helping people integrate new learning theories, technologies, and all those things. So it's not pocket full of primary. That's, I think it's the pedagogy show, the cult of pedagogy. Pedagogy is like a big educational jargon word. It just means like theory and practice. So theory and practice together. So on the cult of pedagogy, one of the things that I really like was she had an episode on being a cultivator. So I get really excited and I nerd out when it comes to giving information to people, because I'm so excited about the topic. But then I overwhelm them, right? Because, you know, really, when someone's learning about a new topic, they really need to know, you know, like, the overall area and some places to further explore on their own, and the gist of it, right? But if you overshare, you tend to just pile on more knowledge. And while for someone like me, that's, you know, that's invigorating. I get to lose myself in knowledge. You know, to other people, it's not so great. It feels overwhelming. It feels suffocating. So the cult of pedagogy talked about, she had an episode that was talked about cultivating. And, you know, so it's almost like seeing curator. So curating, not cultivating. Curating. So curating is, you know, instead of giving your friend like 1,000 links to cool topics about sushi, because they never had sushi before and they're going to try it, you know, making a hyper doc and having 4 things about sushi, maybe a video to types of sushi on YouTube. But reducing the number or the outlets of information and kind of like concentrating it down to what does this really mean? And what does a person who's new to this subject need to know? Okay, I thought I left some breadcrumbs in that rabbit hole is there. So when it comes to learning the occult for me, I don't remember it. I've really experienced information overwhelmed sensation of information in a very long time. But I feel that now sometimes with occult information. And, you know, part of it is theory, but most of it's practice, right? So you learn about, I'm a solitary practitioner at this moment. Hopefully that changes. But right now, it's all I can handle. I wouldn't even know how to handle a godparent at this moment. I think if my life had a little more order to it, and if I was more solid in my knowledge of all things for whatever, you know, whatever religion I would be initiated into or following, I would be initiated into mysteries, right? I would have some basic knowledge of it. You're going to be totally overwhelmed during the initiation process, period. But you at least know what to expect as opposed to going into a situation completely blind. So at this moment, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm sort of seeing how things align, right? So, you know, I'm checking out my astral chart, which I'm going to get into today. Learning about, you know, lunar nodes or north and south nodes, and seeing how that lines up with like reincarnation and how that aligns up to, like, you know, knowing my ascending aspect, knowing my moon and knowing my sun sign, and seeing how those connect kind of with my Orishas. So, you know, I look at my astrology, my zodiac, and I can see elements of, like, I have a lot of fire signs, so I think of Shango. I have, you know, my moon, my sun signs in Cancer, so at Cancer, I kind of think a cross between Yama and Oya. And then, of course, I was born on the 17th, so that 17th is San Lazaro's number, or Babaluae. So it's just like, so there isn't like pure separation in occult matters. They all can blend together. And where I'm going with this is, I think now it's when you're first going down the spiritual path, I think it's better to curate and feel kind of what feels good, because it's all also about being comfortable in your intuition and your third eye, opening up that. And so, yeah, it's relevant, I promise you. But so it's like, open up your third eye chakra, right? And then kind of understanding your past nodes, your future nodes. And it's just a spiritual path. It reveals itself to you when it's supposed to. But intuition and feeling, you know, trusting your gut, listening to the little voices, because the little voices are, you know, or these little signs or sequences, I can say that right. You know, like numerology, angel numbers, all of that's connected, because that's like your guides are telling you, your guides are enlightening you, it's the divine speaking to you, it's the universe working its way through you, right? So all of that paired with knowledge is powerful, but, you know, it's really weird for me because it's starting over from scratch because you don't know anything. And so you're saying you're going to learn as much as possible, but that might not be what is best for you at that moment. So at the moment, maybe you need to just kind of focus on astrology, learning about astrology, or focus on learning about, you know, Orishas, or learning about the Waz, or, you know, or maybe just getting a root, you know, learning how to use Psalms and your root working. Just the basics. And it's not a bad thing. It's a way to ease yourself into a bubbling reservoir of knowledge. So that was my little soapbox. Okay. So I'm glad I just brought up some interesting stuff. So recently I decided to look up my natal chart. I've always felt weird. If that makes any sense. Like, I know I'm a Cancer, but I really don't feel like a Cancer. Like, I have emotional outlet. I mean, I would say my emotions are Cancers. I feel like, but then I have, like, really, I don't get angry, but when I get angry, it's like, I see red. So, I guess I should start off by, stating the obvious. So my sun sign's Cancer. My ascending aspect is Sagittarius, and my moon's in Aries. So I'm just all over the place. I don't even know what to do with all that. And most of my natal chart is full of fire signs. Yeah. Okay. And also, so I went to astrostyle.com and they had a free natal chart. Mind you, like, it'll tell you about, like, just like a basic detail, you know, map about all your houses, your planets, your ascending signs. It'll tell you your north nodes, which we're going to get into today in this episode. Or your lunar nodes, north and south nodes. And that's, so, the north and south, I guess, poles of the moon. So those are your lunar nodes, which mine happen to be Aries and Libra. So I am, my north node is Aries, like 5-6 degrees. I forgot. I gotta look at my stuff. And then my south node is Libra. So I went and looked on astrostyle.com. I will include the link in the show notes. And I just went and found out about myself, which was kind of interesting, I think. It elaborated, explained a lot more about what's going on. And I would recommend that if you have the information necessary to go and look up your birth chart, it's something that you should probably take a look at. I think it's way more precise than going to, like, tarot.com and reading your horoscope. Not that that's not bad. I think they try their best. Like, I found a Indian or Vedic astrology website. I forgot the name of it right now. But because I was listening to the 777 podcast, and I was listening to, like, which Dr. Al was talking about, like, movements, planetary movements, and how it was affecting him. And I was just curious. I went and looked, and, like, you know, for sure, Saturn is like, really affecting Cancer right now. It's affecting, like, short-term travel and some stuff. So, he explained it to, like, you know, retrogrades and transits and reverse transits and all those things, that, I mean, you still can live your life, but, you know, you're just going to have extra precaution to the things that are affected by those planets in transit, right? So that's why, I mean, it's so learning about your houses and learning about your birth chart, your natal chart is interesting, but it's very informative for you, because it can kind of help you. I mean, it's way more than just, you know, reading horoscope in the back of a newspaper. Or, like, I'm guilty of. I have a daily horoscope from iOS, whatever. and I look at it all the time. But your natal chart is personalized. And the reason why it's personalized, because you need some specific information. One, you need your full name. you need your place of birth, time of birth. That's a tricky one for some people. And your birth date. If you're an 80s baby like I am, your mother overcollected everything about your life. So you most likely will have your birth time listed somewhere. However, if you're from a different country, or, you know, maybe you're older, you can theoretically still do a natal chart without your birth time. And most of the calculators will say just put it to 12 p.m. However, it's not going to be 100% accurate, because you don't know. A natal chart is like a snapshot of the sky the moment you were born. So accuracy helps the chart to be more accurate. So I guess you guys are tired of hearing me talking about my natal chart, and you kind of want to hear my natal chart, which is kind of interesting. I'll bust it up real quick. that sounded dirty. Okie dokie. And I realize I say a lot. Just totally cognitive of that. And I apologize. Do, do. I listened to the song Nunca Es Suficiente, and I love it. It's so pretty. I mean, because her voice is so pretty. Now it's like a brain worm stuck in my head. I play it for Santa Muerte. Muerte, sorry. Yeah, I think she likes it. Okay. Oh my goodness. Please label your books, guys. I have a journal or a commonplace book, and it's like my brain as an analog form, but it's just all over the place. So, my chart. So, my rising sign is 23 degrees Sagittarius. My sun is 24 degrees Cancer. And my moon is 27 degrees Aries. Now, I think those degrees are very accurate because I have my birth time. My Mercury is 7 degrees Cancer. Mercury is just your communication, so emotional when I communicate, it kind of fits. My Venus is also in Cancer, 14 degrees. My Mars is in Leo. See, that's the fire sign I told you about. And then here on out, it's just, what is going on? Jupiter is 28 degrees Aries. Saturn is 15 degrees Sagittarius. Uranus is 23 degrees Sagittarius. Neptune, 6% Capricorn. Pluto, 7% Scorpio. And of course, my north node is 5 degrees in Aries. So, yeah, Cancer stands out. So I think you should see your sign a lot. But it's a lot of fire sign for a Cancer. So that's why I feel like I feel strange. I feel like a fire sign trapped in a water sign's body. Particularly with my anger. But I do feel Cancerish the older I get. I don't know if I'm learning to be Cancerish, which it was something that I heard that's kind of like the goal. Again, I'm going to have someone on in the next episode, maybe, or the episode after the next episode. He's a friend of mine. I don't know what proper pronoun. They are a friend of mine. And they're really into astrology, and they do actual natal charts. So cool. I will give them a shout out. Emilio. I got you. I met them at art school when I was in grad school. Yeah. So, yeah. But I'm going to have them on my show, and they will talk about books that are inspirational to them. Also, this is, stuff that they find interesting, and I get to ask them a lot of like newbie astrology questions. Hopefully for help you guys out too, not just help myself out. This is not completely selfish. So I'm really excited about that. Okay. So I would normally get into I'm probably not going to do that this episode. I wanted to go over like the basic, of the natal chart, but I feel like it's a lot more detailed, and I don't want to mess up anything, or I don't want to put the wrong information out there. So I think I better leave that to them, because that's their expertise at this moment. Okay. So, yeah, I found out my natal chart, which is pretty groovy, explains a lot. I feel like it was right. Like, I felt like that when I learned that I was reincarnated as a man all my reincarnations, and this is the first time I've been reincarnated as a woman. It felt like the key to everything. Like, now my life makes sense. So, I would suggest, yeah, those are really... Okay, so what was really sexy about the natal chart is north and south nodes. Okay, so they're related to your past life and your current life's purpose. So I was listening to another podcast, because I'm a podcast junkie. This was the I Am Goddess Collective podcast with Nixie Marie, and she had on Mimi Trung. I probably mispronounced that. And so she gave her on-air reading, and it was really good. But she was talking about like those the rising, the moon, and the sun sign, and how what they represent, and it was really interesting to hear that. But also, she talked a lot about the lunar nodes, and so they play a pivotal part in, you know, your soul's evolution, which how she put it. So I also will have a link to the podcast, I think, and whatever. Well, I have a link to a lot of stuff. So according to astrostyle.com, North and South nodes, aka lunar nodes, influence destiny and critical life lessons. So lunar nodes are directly opposite of each other in the chart. So you get these pairs, right? So here's the pairs. Aries and Libra, Taurus and Scorpio, Gemini and Sagittarius, Cancer and Capricorn, Leo and Aquarius, Virgo and Pisces. In case you wanted to know, I think I mentioned it earlier, I'm an Aries and Libra. So your self notes reveal past life and natural abilities. They're a gift from your previous lifetimes, and they are a place of belonging. And your north notes is the exact opposite of your south notes. It is your learning curve that also requires you to stretch out of your comfort zone. So it's pretty much So north notes is like this life, what's happening here and now. And the south notes are like what happened before. What gifts you bringing into this life. You know, sometimes it's gifts, sometimes it's karmic lessons. So I will read a little bit of my north node life path for Aries. So my life path involves balancing between self and others and being a solo star or the biggest supporting actor. I guess they can be summed up as the me versus we. Okay, and why is this relevant? Because if you compare it to my past life node, which is Libra, all right, my past life, I was a peacekeeper and I was never allowed to express discontent. So the goal for this life is to channel my emotions into something constructive, right? Champion of rights people, of justice work, you know, embrace my star power, work on my anger issues. And so the anger issues are springing directly off of the fact that in my past lives, I wasn't allowed to express anger. And now in this life, I'm full of it, right? So I know that from... Okay, so also some cool stuff about, you know, North Nodes, it's like it's my karmic classroom. So I have to balance out my own needs and the needs of others. So it's the life lessons that when you die, hopefully you got those lessons. And that's, yeah. So that's, I read that and I was kind of like shocked and I had to like kind of process all that. Just like do some like mindless work and just work over the information I've been given. And 31, I think, is also a crisis year, like 27, something like that. So it's this year has been a crisis year for me, but it puts stuff in perspective. You start reviewing your life and analyzing it, and thinking about things and what lessons am I not getting? And so aligning yourself with the path, so your North Node path. It's going to give your life purpose. People born with the same lunar node group are kind of like soul tribe. So y'all are incarnated. I need water. Y'all are incarnated with to learn the same life lessons. Makes sense. Very unprofessional to drink something on air. Okay. So... I will get into the meat of this episode. We're talking about Rocky's spiritual paths. I'm going to read something I wrote previously. And I'm trying to keep this segment to like 10 minutes, so we'll see. I was under the impression that when a person started their spiritual path, they would never have days where they questioned their faith. I was also under the impression that there will be no bad days or emotional outbursts or even just shitty attitudes as a reaction to events. I was wrong. Yesterday, so this is a couple days ago, I had an emotional chip on my shoulder. I took justifiable critique from bosses and friends and even myself as emotional attacks. Instead of an opportunity to level up, to fix things, to understand the life lessons I was encountering, which were, and I kind of put them as like proverbs, so, your word is your bond. People experience equally shitty days as you, but still follow through. Always keep improving at your job, no matter how comfortable you get, and when someone shows you their true nature, believe it. I had all of those karmic lessons in one day. It was rough. I had all those lessons in one day. I had those lessons while wearing my new, new Babalua necklace. I had those lessons after burning my candle to my Risha and paying honor to my ancestors or Oguns. I had those lessons despite beginning my morning bright and happy. And I chose to pity myself and to feel shame about myself and believe that I had done something wrong when honoring or neglecting or perhaps not playing the right music for the spirits that I commune with. But that wasn't the case. The lesson I learned was that this happens to everyone. People will have good days and bad ones, but having a life connected to the divine via spirits, via the Orishas, makes life more fulfilling even on shitty days. And here's something to meditate on, and this is from the book Finding Soul on the path of Orisha, a West African spiritual tradition by author Toby Maloa Correr. There we go. Insists that we use every conversation, every circumstance, and every moment as an opportunity to see Orisha and God. When you stray from this awareness, bring yourself gently but firmly back to the Ashe, which is alive in all of us. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope I wasn't too chaotic. Like I said, I will be reviewing. We'll be reviewing Jambalaya in the next episode. The goal is to review a book a week. We'll see how that goes. I'm also gonna get to the Finding Soul on the Path to Orishas. That's gonna be episode. I'm gonna review that book. And finally, leaving you with something cool. Conjure, Caria. YouTube channel. Okay, a very informative podcast. She talks about root working and the reaches and much more. Plus, she has 17 years of experience in online botanica. So, yeah, check her out. She's pretty down to earth and explains things where I find sometimes that I get conflicting messages or convoluted information sometimes. So, she's a great resource. All right, guys, thank you for checking out my podcast. Please subscribe, and hopefully I'll put out another podcast. I'll put out a podcast on the book Jambalaya probably tomorrow, and then it probably another week before I put another podcast out. So just, if you know, heads up.